today on Real Radio.
So listen, maybe you're not walking with Jesus tonight. You're a Christian, but you've walked away, and God has been reaching out to you. You've had a couple of close calls, and you went, whew, boy, I guess I can keep doing what I'm doing because I made it through that close call. You knucklehead, you. That close call was God saying, you better watch it. I'm trying to get your attention.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's Great Commission, begins a new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sins and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah Jesus Christ like no other prophet, and also what will happen in the last days. Isaiah's ministry began right about 740 BC and ended at 680 BC. Isaiah's name means, "The Lord is my salvation." The book of Isaiah has 66 chapters that are broken up into two sections. The first 39 chapters are on sin, judgment, and the future, and the final 27 chapters are on restoration, forgiveness, and the future. Israel was in the north and Judah was in the south. The nation as a whole had departed from God while being surrounded by hostile nations. The Assyrian Empire was on the rise, Persia was threatening, Babylon was stirring, while Egypt was preparing for war. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the book of Isaiah is like a mini Bible. The Bible has 66 books, Isaiah has 66 chapters, divided into two sections like the New and Old Testaments. Many scholars say that over 25 times Isaiah calls God the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, detailing Jesus as the Messiah. And now continuing his lesson called God's Great Commission, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The ministry of the prophets in the Bible. It's interesting, note this. Jonah. Was Jonah a prophet in the Bible? Yes, Jesus even called him a prophet. The Bible calls him a prophet. But did you know that Jonah speaks into a culture? He doesn't tell us anything about the future. But he's a prophet. Doesn't that encourage, it encourages me. Does that encourage you as a believer? God is not saying, tell people their future. Jonah didn't tell anybody their future. But he was a prophet. Think of this. Ezekiel did both. He spoke into a culture, right? And he told about the future. Wow. We're in the days of Ezekiel. And then you think of, this is interesting. Was Elijah a prophet? Oh, yeah. But did you know Elijah never spoke about future events? Elijah. You kind of assumed he did, didn't you? He was such. He's one of Israel's most esteemed prophets, Elijah. In fact, maybe the most esteemed. But he spoke into a culture. Now, this gets exciting for us again because all of a sudden, though you and I live in the New Testament era and there are no prophets as the Old Testament prophet ministry was, there is the gift found in the scripture regarding prophecy, but it's not again telling about the future in the New Testament. It's proclaiming, forth-telling, holding forth the truth. In a way, listen, it's more than a teacher, or different, I should say, and it's different than a pastor teacher. These are gifts recorded in scripture. An evangelist can have the office or the ministry of a New Testament gift called prophet or prophecy, and so can a pastor teacher, for example. How do we know? Because they not only have a teaching ministry, or you think of like Greg Laurie with an evangelistic ministry, but they have an amazing ability at times where the Spirit gives them words that are applicable to the stinging and to the healing of the direction of the culture. It's very interesting, very powerful. And it's valid in scripture. Some of the backgrounds and insights regarding this man Isaiah, as I said, his name means the Lord is our salvation. We know really nothing about his upbringing other than in some way he ascended by the graces of God, close to King Uzziah. As I said, he was his removed cousin of his. Isaiah's father, we mentioned his name is Amos. But that his authorship of this book, he's extremely intelligent. The book of Isaiah is what's called High Hebrew language. He writes with extreme, highly educated classic Hebrew. And we'll talk more why this is important in a moment. He was married, as I mentioned a moment ago. He had two sons. They had two sons. Shear Jashub was one name of his boys. Shear Jashub. Now, you're going to hear the second name in a moment, but Shear Jashub, it's going to sound awesome compared to his brother's name. But you say, Shear Jashub, what kind of name is that? Ah, that's kind of cool. His name means the remnant shall return. That's neat. I like the name just Shear, like Shear Jashub. This just sounds like. Now his poor brother, his brother's name was Shear Shalab Hasbaz. Shear Shalab Hasbaz, get over here. Hey honey, what do you think we should name our new kid? I know, Shear Shalab Hasbaz. His name means quick to plunder, swift to the spoil. According to tradition and extra-biblical accounts, Isaiah was later captured by the last king of his life, Manasseh. Remember bad King Manasseh? He was a mean guy. He captured Isaiah, and he was tortured. And here is this lofty prophet of God. He was pulled in through a log, a hollowed-out log, and Manasseh ordered the log to be sawed in half with Isaiah in the middle. And he was martyred, cut in half. And some scholars believe that this is what the Holy Spirit made reference of in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, when you talk about the lifestyle of the righteous and faithful of Hebrews 11. In verses 35 to 37 regarding those, it says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Verse 36, still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. Verse 37, they were stoned and they were sawn in two. Many believe that this is a reference to Isaiah because of his death. Isaiah, as I mentioned earlier, is the longest of the prophetic books in the Bible. It's certainly one of the longest books in the entire Bible itself. Check this out, you guys. This is fun. There's 66 chapters of the book of Isaiah. The entire book of Isaiah is broken up into two sections. Listen, the first 39 chapters is considered as section one. Why? Because it's God speaking through Isaiah regarding sin, judgment, and the future. Then the remaining 27 chapters at the end, section number two, speak about restoration, forgiveness, and the future. Some of you who know your Bibles are going, what? That's exactly right. It's a mini Bible. Isaiah is a mini Bible. And it's absolutely awesome. Penned 743 years before Jesus was born. Look, if you're a doubter in the house, you gotta listen to this. The book of Isaiah is so exact and so prophetic in detail that liberal scholars have tried to do everything possible to discredit the validity of the book of Isaiah because it's too perfect. It's too true. What it says happens so much that they say, no way, that had to be written afterwards. It's too detailed. But God has this sense of humor. So as you consider this, watch this. 66 chapters, there's 66 books in the Bible. How many books are in the Old Testament? 39. What does the Old Testament predominantly deal with? Sin, judgment, in the future. Then the New Testament has how many books? 27 books. What does it talk about? It talks about restoration and forgiveness and the future. It's a mini Bible. It's absolutely awesome. No wonder why it's such an evangelistic Old Testament book and considered to be so. The books of the prophets, when you consider them in the Bible, keeping this in mind, five books are called the major prophets. It doesn't mean that they had gigantic prophecies and the other guys had little ones. but it means that they're major in volume. Then you've got the 12 other books of the minor prophets. This simply means that they're lesser in volume. Isaiah obviously is one of the major prophetic books of the Bible. The times in which he lived, it was a very, very remarkable time, which I personally believe is the reason why we need to study this book. Listen to this. At the time of Isaiah's ministry, the nation was greatly divided both geographically, Israel to the north, Judah to the south, but the people were radically divided. Also this, the nation as a whole had departed from the word of God and from the memory of God. They had left God out of their memories. Sound familiar? Listen, paganism began to infiltrate the land. Corruption was among its leaders in various areas and ways, and the nation in all aspects, agriculture, monetary, influence, and in battle, they were absolutely on the decline. They were waning. The sun was setting upon Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And God sends his prophets. Oh, Lord, please send your prophets as our nation wanes, that there might be hope. Amen? Amen? We need this. The world he lived in and his particular nation, as I mentioned, Israel and Judah, divided kingdoms. Geographically, they were identical, almost identical to what you see today on our map regarding Israel. Of course, the West Bank wasn't there, Gaza wasn't there, but it wasn't much different than what you would see today on your map. The northern and southern kingdom divided, but the geographical location, nothing has changed regarding that. Now, I think I have a map. Do you guys have that map, or did I forget to give you that map? Let's see in a second. There we go. Okay. Now, you guys, those of you guys who know Israel, look, you see Syria at the top, Israel, Judah. Okay, Syria, obviously, Damascus above Syria, that's obviously to the north. Israel, you can say, well, how am I going to remember this? Just think of, in your mind, divided kingdom, northern Israel. North, Israel's in the north. Judah is where Jerusalem is. That's in the south. So just think of Israel being the north or north of Israel. So what's the big deal? The big deal is this. You've got Israel and Judah, the divided kingdom. Look to the left, you've got Egypt. Egypt is stirring at this time for war. Listen, this is remarkable. It's going to sound like today. Israel was very unsettled, and it needed, for monetary reasons and for expansionary reasons, it needed a war. I don't know if you're going to like to hear this or not, but sometimes nations need wars. When a nation is in financial straits, one of the ways to get out of financial debt is to create a war. Did you know that? If you don't know that, you should know that, because that's what Adolf Hitler did. He used the waning powers of Germany, knowing that a war would restart its economy, but he had an agenda. It wasn't even the conquering the world. His real agenda was to destroy every Jew on the planet. It was a satanic plot of his. But Egypt is stirring for battle right now. Isaiah is a prophet to the south. God is speaking to him. You look in the area of Assyria, way north to the right. Look at Nineveh. You see Nineveh above Assyria? What's the name of Nineveh today? Mosul. We just found out recently, in the last couple of weeks, that the oldest continuous church service since the times of Jesus, the oldest church service going on in Nineveh, was, of course, destroyed by ISIS and the Christians. We now hear this week we heard that there are now officially no Christians alive any longer in Nineveh. One of the oldest, if not the oldest, dwelling place of Christians in the world, they are now extinct. But look at the Assyrian Empire. Why? Because the Assyrians are stirring up to go to war. They're going to go to war. You see the Babylonian Empire down towards the south on the east end of the Euphrates? They're stirring up. They're wanting war. All this stuff is happening literally while Isaiah is speaking to the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, Egypt today, In this year, is stirring. It's unsettled. It's bent on war. Assyria, this green arc that you're seeing that goes from Tarsus, where it meets up with Meshach, over the Mediterranean, near Arpad, that region all the way down to Ur. See down Babylonia, down where you are, Ur, that's where Abraham came from. See that arc? This is the region that ISIS and their theology of Islam, that they've got to conquer that region. They're well on their way. That's why they're pushing right now on the door of Turkey. As we sit here tonight, ISIS is pushing on the door of Turkey. And they're going south. They've almost, if you look at the current news right now, they've almost surrounded Baghdad, which is very threatening. There's a lot of Americans in Baghdad, a lot of Westerners there. It's a big deal. Why do I bring the two together? Because the same demonic power that stirred the nations in those days, the same demonic powers are back. They're here, and they're stirring the nations for war. And there's this little place the size of New Jersey called Israel, and in our time of our study, Israel and Judah, and it turns its back on God, it's giving up on God, and listen, God is, I'm going to say this just as it is, God doesn't ask you to agree with him or not, it's the way that it is. Whenever God's people turn their back on him, and he sends them warnings over and over again, sometimes for a generation, he sends warnings. If they don't turn, do you know what God does? Watch. He lifts his hand off of that nation's protection. He just lifts his hand. He doesn't send ISIS against America, or in this case, Assyria against Israel. He doesn't send them per se, as much as he just lifts his hand of protection off of them. When the glory of the Lord departs, you're on your own. So listen, maybe you're not walking with Jesus tonight. You're a Christian, but you've walked away, and God has been reaching out to you. You've had a couple of close calls, and you went, whew, boy, I guess I can keep doing what I'm doing because I made it through that close call. You knucklehead, you. That close call was God saying, you better watch it. I'm trying to get your attention. If you're not walking with Jesus, that's him saying, come on back quick. If you harden your heart, he will turn up the heat. And he'll make it more intense until if you do not listen to him and you do belong to him, let's say you do belong to him and you're not listening, do you know what he does? He just flat out lifts his hand of blessing, or in this case, protection of your life, and you're on your own. Do you remember that guy in Corinthians when Paul says, that guy that's been sleeping around with his stepmom at Corinth, get him out of the church, throw him out, and let Satan destroy him, so that his soul is saved in the day of Christ. Let Satan destroy his body. You say, well, how saved can a man be? Well, apparently that dude was so saved that Paul said, throw the guy out of the church because he won't repent. He's committing horrible sexual immorality, and Satan will destroy his body because Paul knew what would happen. God's blessing would leave this man for sin. His body would be racked with disease or death or whatever would happen to him. The guy's dead, and yet his spirit would go to be with the Lord, and the guy's saved. That's radical. I don't suggest you live like that. But man. So listen, the hand had lifted from Israel, from Judah. And the enemy's coming. And I think God has lifted his hand from America. I think you can tell, by the way. I know, believe me, I'd rather not say this, but I believe it's absolutely true. Have you noticed our government and our military right now, we can't do anything right. Everything's a blunder. We just found out that all these bombing runs that we've been doing, we've been bombing empty buildings, that our military's been ordered to blow up empty buildings. So now the military is very upset and very concerned and very disgusted over our leadership right now. I don't blame them. We've got generals turning on the president right now. That's never good, no matter what you think about any sitting president. That's not a good thing, you guys. This is a bad time. Why? What's going on? God's hands off of us. I really believe his hands off of us. When's the last time it rained here in California of note? We're in an 8-year drought, aren't we? driving down the freeway yesterday, and instead of the freeway sign saying, merge left, traffic up ahead, report all drunk drivers, it says, we're in a severe drought on the 405 freeway. Has God lifted his hand from California? All I have to do is drive around. You say, oh, I don't think so. We still have Disneyland. You know what? Even the gardening at Disneyland's not like it used to be. God's truly lifted his hand. I mean, come on. We're in a world of hurts. Our nation's hurting. You see, Jake, that's not very positive. I know. But it's accurate. God help us. I believe, by the way, it doesn't have to be like this for long. I think if we turn back to the Lord quickly, I think his hand, I think God is waiting to bless America once again. I really do. But will we turn to him? Will we turn to him? This is kind of fun. As Isaiah was ministering, there were some pretty famous guys doing the same thing. His contemporaries in ministry was Hosea in your Bible. Amos, the book of Amos, was a contemporary. They were ministering in the north, up in Israel. Isn't that encouraging? I think that's awesome. Isaiah, and have you ever heard of the prophet Micah? Micah, they were predominantly ministering in the south. Now, Micah did minister in the south, but Isaiah's ministry was predominantly south, but it spilled over into the north. But it's pretty amazing, amazing calling. Regarding him, that is the Lord being our Savior, our salvation, 6 times in the Old Testament, the Lord, our Savior, or the Holy One of Israel appears. In the book of Isaiah, between 28 and 30 times it appears. Isaiah 43:3 says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now you guys, this again written 743 years before Jesus was born. What does the Bible say? He's the Holy One of what? Of where? Listen, shout it out. Israel. Say it again.
Israel.
The Bible says, preempting all views about what that land should be called, God calls it Israel. And that he's the Holy One of Israel.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God's Great Commission. Thanks for listening. And like Isaiah, we need to speak to our own generation about knowing God personally by accepting his Son Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. God's Great Commission is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Have you had a chance to go to our website yet, reallifewithjackhibbs.org? Well, if you haven't, then you haven't yet discovered all that Pastor Jack wants to share with you. There are so many resources that you can tap into. Simply start at the Home tab and go from there. Pastor Jack offers videos of past sermons, Real Life Radio in case you missed an episode or you want to hear one again. There are also devotions with a new one every week, our recommended book of the month, special events you can sign up for, Bible prophecy from our Facebook Live events, and a whole lot more. And by the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has a YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? Over 500 videos for you to choose from to guide you through your walk with Christ. And when you have your smartphone or tablet close by, you can download the Real Life app. So all that's happening at Real Life with Jack Hibbs is right there at your fingertips. Once again, head over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can even download the Real Life app from right there, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call, 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.